Well, summer's winding down here in Wisconsin and elsewhere, of course, but there's always something interesting to do or see. And the editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine is back with us to talk about some of those things. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Our guest is Mike Beno. We give him a call every couple of months to hear about the latest issue of the magazine, talk about the unique people and places that are Wisconsin. And we'd love to hear from you as well. What a little-known person, event, or place means Wisconsin to you? Is there an event going on you want to tell us about? I hope you'll join in our conversation. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Could email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. I'd love to hear from you. And Mike, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Larry, thank you so much for inviting me. I always look forward to these because it's so much fun to talk with your listeners.
Well, it is. And, you know, there's always new listeners coming on board. And so I always start by asking you about Our Wisconsin Magazine to tell folks what we've got here.
Sure. And thanks a lot. It's hard to believe we are coming. We're just finishing out our fifth year of publishing this thing.
Wow.
Yeah. I retired some years ago up to the Northwoods of Wisconsin, but a man can only chop so much firewood before he needs to get a little more mentally engaged. And I had a long career in magazine publishing and decided one day, why not give it a shot, bring out a magazine, a print magazine, mind you, nothing online here so much, an old-fashioned print magazine. That celebrates everything there is to enjoy in the state of Wisconsin. And how can we find that out? Well, we ask the readers themselves, wherever they live, all over this state, to clue us in. Let us know with a story or a photo what it is about your corner of Wisconsin that makes this the very best place to live, and send that in to this magazine, which is it's about 82 pages, thick glossy paper, full color. Like I said, the old-fashioned magazines, a lot of them seem to be shrinking these days, but we went the other way, and it seemed to, that idea seemed to resonate with people. In 18 months, we had 75,000 subscribers. Howard Mead at the old Wisconsin Trails magazine, which I love so well, said they got to about 80,000 in 52 years. So we're over 100,000 now, and people seem to, they're chipping in stories, they're having fun with it. Everything in here is positive, and the August-September issue is right here in front of me, and I think it's one of our better issues.
Yeah, it's. I have it in front of me as well. It is a beautiful, you didn't mention the photos that accompany every issue, and you've got some dandies in here, along with some beautiful color photos, along with some other photos that were sent in by the people who wrote the stories.
You bet. People send in family album photos to go with their stories. Some of those, if they're sharing a recollection, let's say back to the 50s or 60s, this is a present day magazine, but we do have some nostalgia. And there'll be some photos that came straight out of people's family albums. They're not always the most technically crisp and perfect photos, but they may be all that exists of something they're describing from the 30s, and people are fine with that. On the other end of the spectrum, we work with about 40 to 50 professional photographers who canvas a state, and they supply the photos in our display positions, which is to say the covers, and we have a 10-page photo essay, including a 3-page panorama in the center of the issue, that take people on a tour, an armchair tour of the state. It's seasonal. And thanks so much, Larry, because people always comment on the bright, vibrant color, and I've joked here in the past that I'm in charge of the boring gray stuff that we put around those pretty pictures. I'm pleased to be the guy in charge of that.
Oh, it's been your cover this time is really, really pretty.
Yeah, Gibraltar Rock.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, Betsy in River Falls has something for us. Let's just go there. Hi, Betsy.
Great.
Thank you for calling.
Well, hi. I've been a Wisconsinite for 75 years, and I decided that I was going to drive down the Mississippi down Wisconsin, and then realized the eclipse was coming, and then going in that direction was not the right way. So I decided to find the headwaters of the St. Croix River, and I drove up to Gordon, and then I noticed that Y crossed Highway 53, and at the end of where Y ended, there was like a little park, and then there was a thin blue line coming out of the St. Croix flowage, and I thought, I bet you that's it. And I asked people at Gordon, and they didn't know about it, and I asked a person working in the park, and he didn't know about it, but I'm a determined 75-year-old lady, so I drove down this little road, and there indeed was a fishing place, and the end of the St. Croix flowage, and a little tiny dam, and the beginning of the St. Croix River, and I jumped for joy. I could hardly stand it. There were some total strangers there from Illinois who were fishing, and I said, I have to tell somebody or I'm going to bust if I can't tell about this. So I told them, I said, that's the beginning of the St. Croix River. And they said, well, good for you, lady. Good for you. I'm just tickled pink.
Well, you know, Betsy sounds like the kind of contributor that you have to our Wisconsin magazine and also really the kind of reader.
It, certainly. Betsy, your enthusiasm just, I think, encapsulates what this magazine is about. People get excited about Wisconsin and making discoveries here. And the stories in the magazine, sometimes people will write to us and say, we drove 3 hours to get to this restaurant we saw in there. We drove 3 hours to go and speak to your Amish diarist who's out in his hayfield cutting cutting hay with his four-horse team. These kind of discoveries are wonderful, Betsy. And what was the name of that place you were near? Gordon?
Gordon.
Wonderful.
And it's on Highway 53, and then Y crosses right. It's the only cross. I mean, Gordon is like so. If you blinked, you'd miss it.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I know, Gordon. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Boy, Willem in Colfax up next. Willem, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I was just calling about an event in western Wisconsin in September.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the Hudson River Falls Roberts area.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Western Wisconsin Pottery Tour, and people can find out more about it by looking up westernwisconsinpotterytour.com. But it's the 4 studios and 18 potters' work. From it's an opportunity to see different studios and kilns and talk to the potters about their work, and there's refreshments served, and it's a beautiful area to drive around because River Falls is a beautiful little town, and then you go out into the country along Highway 29 and up toward Roberts, and I just thought I'd call about that, and it's the 23rd and the 24th of September.
23rd and 24th, and the site was Western Wisconsin Pottery Tour. If you went online, you'd see that?
Yeah, you'd see that. You'd see who's participating in the locations and other information about it. It's usually a really fun event, and people, it's free for families and anyone that cares to attend. So
yeah. Thank you so much for calling. That's a kind of thing that you write about in your magazine.
Yeah, some of the, that's one I've never heard of. And to me, the best part about this job is just what you heard, making these discoveries and learning about things that are going on all over the state, even small things, and there's so much to see and do here. And the potters, the talent there we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the events that you write about in the book, in your magazine this time, is one for wildlife and art enthusiasts. I'm sure they're looking forward to an event in Stevens Point this fall. It's the kind of the premier wildlife art contest.
Well, it sure is, and I would guess you know the gentleman who wrote this story here, Tim Isley of Madison, shared a piece with us about a feather in Wisconsin's cap. It's the federal duck stamp competition art contest is being judged for the first time ever in Wisconsin, and that'll be happening at Stevens Point September 15th and 16th. The federal duck stamp is it's one of the premier art contests in the United States. It's the only one juried and judged by the federal government. And the duck stamp, of course, is known. The official name is a migratory bird hunting and conservation stamp, which was founded in 1934. And it's not a postage stamp. It is another hunting license, if you will, that waterfowl mm-hmm. hunters use to attach to their licenses. And it has raised $800 million since 1934 for federal refuges such as Horicon, Nisida, Tremplo right here in Wisconsin. And they preserve nesting and upland habitat, wetland habitat and upland habitat for migratory birds. And this competition is being judged in Stevens Point, and one of our friends, Dr. Christine Thomas, Dean of the College of Natural Resources up at Point, worked hard to get the competition here. So the judging is going to happen, and you will see, and you can go see it, and you'll see the best waterfowl art in the nation right there.
Yeah, and Tim Eisley, by the way, is going to be on the show next week, Thursday, to talk more about that. So that's, gonna,
that's great.
Terry in Partyville, it's your turn. Hi, Terry.
Hi there. My name is Terry Green. I was in the June edition with my fishing boat and things on Lake Michigan.
Yes.
You were. Terry, yeah. I'm honored to talk to you.
Hi there. Yes, I just wanted to thank you, for some other people, too. However, I have a part put on my rods that I can use my rod with just one hand.
Yes.
And that loop that I make, I have this article that Doug Stam had done. I've had people call me from about six different places in the United States, plus with your article in June, a young man down by Sauk has lost his hand, and they've called me to help them build this for their fishing rod. So...
Great.
I'd like to color in just a little background, Larry, for the listeners. Terry Green.
We got about 30 seconds.
Okay. Terry is blind and has one hand, yet he is an accomplished machinist and Great Lakes fisherman. He can do it all despite the challenges that he has. And what he's talking about is a fishing rod that he has created that helps people who face the kind of challenges he has. A very talented man, and he doesn't let anything stop him in life.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that. And, Terry, thank you so much for calling. We'll take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with our guest, Mike Beno. Stay with us. Thanks so much for being with us today on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the people and places that make Wisconsin great and hearing some wonderful stories as well. Larry Mueller here. Mike Beno is back with us, editor of Our Wisconsin magazine. It's packed with stories and photos and recipes, and they're all about Wisconsin. What's your favorite thing to do this time of the year? Maybe you have a fond memory of a special place in Wisconsin. Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And Mike, it was great to hear from Terry in Partyville, a guy who's blind and has lost a hand, right?
Yes, he was featured in our June-July issue, and he had as a teen, he said he was doing a dumb thing. They were playing with blasting caps, and he lost his sight, and he lost one hand as a teenager. Went to the Lions camp in Rosholt, and decided then and there, he gained some confidence and decided he wasn't gonna sit back and feel sorry for himself. He was going to tackle life head on. He owns and operates a machine shop in Partyville, and he's got several adult children, at least two, I believe, sons. And he also is an accomplished Great Lakes captain. He goes out. He has one person help him steer the boat. But anybody who's done salmon fishing or trout fishing off of Port Washington, which is where, or any of those towns, that's where Terry puts in. And this man, despite what he, the challenges he has, he arrays nine lines out from the back of that boat. He's got them with outriggers, downriggers, all different depths, not tangling them up, and he just ties them on and goes and is a successful fisherman. It's anybody who's seen that knows how complex that is, and he handles it. So hats off to a man who, I can't say enough about him. And that's some of what we find in Wisconsin, amazing people.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're now dealing a little bit with your August-September issue, and I was thinking about my grandfather, Elmer Mueller, who loved sorghum.
Okay.
And I didn't like it at first, but I grew to like sorghum a lot, and you've got an interesting story about the comeback of sorghum in Wisconsin, and that's a cool story.
Where was Elmer Mueller from?
He was from Mazamani,
okay.
Originally, and then farmed around Cottage Grove, Wisconsin.
Okay. Sorghum in Wisconsin. Now, when I think of sorghum, I think of the old folk song I hear on Simply Folk on during fall on WPR. You know, the time of the year that I like the best is the time when the mule walks around the press. That smacks of Appalachia and Arkansas and a lot of the South. But sorghum syrup is a staple in the South, and not so much up here. We have maple syrup, of course. But sorghum's making a comeback in Wisconsin in Elkhart Lake. Thanks to Richard and Richard Whitgreave at the Rolling Meadows Farm there. Rich is from Iowa, and he grew up with sorghum. And he decided at his farm in Sheboygan County, he couldn't find it. Molasses just wasn't doing it for him on his pancakes or his cereal. So he decided to raise sorghum and press it and boil the juice down and make sorghum syrup. Well, he started that in 1985, and now they're up to making over 4,000 gallons of finished syrup at this farm. It's not a very big farm. And the history behind this is that Wisconsin, about 1860, was a major sorghum syrup producer. 325,000 gallons of that stuff was made by 1879. So it's got a history here, but it's sort of faded from view. Well, this fella has brought it back, and he's brought it back in such a big way that their farm tied for first place in syrup division at the National Sweet Sorghum Producers and Processors Association meeting this year in 2017. So the Northerners know a thing or two about sorghum, Larry.
They do indeed, and it was fun reading that article and just sort of thinking back to some kind of fun times with my grandpa. Karen from Fond du Lac called to ask how she can get a subscription to our Wisconsin magazine.
Well, thanks so much, Karen. It's pretty simple. You can go online, and our website is ourwisconsinmag.com. And there's a 1-800 number line you can call, and they'd be glad to help you, and that's 877-902-9760.
877, what was it again?
902-9760.
9760. And along with that, Darlene on Facebook asks what the state readership for our Wisconsin magazine is. She says it's one of the most beautiful magazines ever, and she thinks many state alumni would love it.
Oh, thanks so much, Darlene. Yes, to answer your question, we have about 90,000 subscribers in the state of Wisconsin. They're in all 72 Wisconsin counties. We have readers in all 50 states. So when you add them in, we're over 100,000 paid subscribers.
Okay, so there are quite a few people from outside the state who were here probably that are enjoying it as well.
Yeah, I think about one-third of our readership, our subscriptions, are gift subscriptions, where folks will send a little bit of Wisconsin to a family member who's far away, has moved away, and the pretty big component of our readership.
We have... you know, a lot of amazing people in the state, or in the case of the Shawano Ski Sharks Water Ski Club, a whole bunch of them. Tell us about their adaptive skiing program.
Well, that was a story done for us by Jim Leuenberger, who's our volunteer field editor in Shawano County. And we have somebody in nearly every county in the state that tips us off on what's going on. The Shawano Ski Sharks are a water ski team that they put on shows on the Wolf River there in town, and they've done it for 40 years. And about 3 years ago, they decided, they heard about a program called Adaptive Skiing. And what this is they have a specially designed ski that allows a person who is disabled, let's say, to be seated and towed from that position behind a ski boat. There are two experienced skiers that are right alongside that person, helping stabilize them in the water as they're getting up when they gun the boat, and then ease them back down in the water when they return to shore. And they are bringing this experience to people who would otherwise not have the chance. And anybody who wants to come out there and give it a try, they will pull them. They've had more than 50 individuals participating in it. And, you know, that what they say is, you know, disabled folks have feelings just like we all do, and they just would like to be included. And here's something that, it's a feel-good story. They're doing something for their fellow man.
You can join in, too, by the way, our conversation, something going on in your area you want to talk about or a question about the magazine itself. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Love to hear from you. And if you read the magazine now, love to hear your comments. You know, when I was a kid, I built a quote-unquote treehouse. It was the worst thing ever. And I don't know if my mother ever saw it. If she would have, she probably would have said, don't you ever go up in that thing. But there are some treehouses for adults now that are pretty popular. And you've got a beauty in the North Woods of Wisconsin that somebody wrote about.
That's right, and I think you and I went to the same treehouse building school, Larry. Yeah, lucky I didn't fall out of that hickory tree in Alloway when I was growing up. But the one you're talking about is a treehouse in northern Wisconsin created by Rob Resnick of Oshkosh and his wife, Pam. Rob's one of our featured photographers alluded to a while ago.
Yeah.
And he's very talented at that, but he and his wife started watching this Treehouse Masters program on cable TV and satellite TV, and they started seeing these very elaborate structures that that some people are building.
Something unbelievable.
They decided to build one themselves. Now, it's hard enough to put a 45-degree pitch on a roof with four skylights in it. Try doing that 30 feet up in a tree. Yeah. So Rob and Pam live in Oshkosh, and they decided they're going to build this up north. And it took them 2,000 hours to build this thing across three summers. And this isn't even counting the time that they're designing there at their place in Oshkosh and scrounging for materials. Well, this structure, you can go on Facebook and see photos of it if you search Treehouse Retreat C Cedar Solstice. That's what they've named it. But this has plumbing. It has a bathroom with a composting toilet. It has gorgeous woodwork all through it. The words don't describe it, and I'm urging folks to take a look at the curly willow balusters and the skylights and the art glass windows, and it just goes on and on. We've got three pages of this. We could have done half the magazine on it. But at that Facebook site, if you've got a computer, Treehouse Retreat Cedar Solstice, it is an amazing structure, and we were thrilled when Rob let us know he was doing this.
Yeah.
You know, it's, wow, send pictures of that. Not all the scenery you've been sending us. A wonderful, wonderful structure. And they had a lot of fun, obviously.
Yeah, worth a look. Tom in Strum, Wisconsin, up next. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Hey, I was just listening to your story on the Shawano ski team. The Ski Sprites water ski team in Lake Altoona near Eau Claire have been doing this for 4 years. And it's our way of giving back to the community. And we've had people from a woman, a former skier, paralyzed motorcycle accident, kid with cerebral palsy, and the joy it brings those people to once again do things that they once wished they could have done. It is unbelievable. The families that are participants are overwhelmed by this. We just did one Saturday and had a number of people that just enjoyed every minute of it.
Oh, and that's in Eau Claire.
Tom. Oh, yep.
Oh. Mike, a comment.
Tom, thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah, it's good to know that it's going on in other parts of the state as well, isn't it?
Yeah, the photos we have in the magazine, Tom just described how people light up, their faces light up, the joy that they have in being able to do something where, you know, the door might have been closed otherwise if it hadn't been for some kind people coming together, buying the equipment, learning how to do this, learning how to work with folks as they're skiing in this fashion, and making their sport available and sharing it with somebody who couldn't get there otherwise.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Appreciate your call very much, and for what you do. Mary in Cassville, it's your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm thrilled with this magazine. I started getting it, but now I read at the nursing home in Lancaster every week, and I read that magazine cover to cover to those ladies up there, and they love it. And I get up and I show them all the pictures, and it's fun because one lady always remembered, there was one town in Wisconsin, I wish I could remember what it was, and she'd say, my daughter used to teach in that school up in that town, and they all have something they can remember about everything that I'm reading. It's just a lot of fun.
Oh.
Gives me a good chance to sit down and relax, read the magazine guilt-free.
There you go, Mary. Well, that's nice to hear, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, Mary, thanks so much. What this magazine is about is making connections, and we often hear from people after we run a story, I remember that, I used to live in that town, I know the person that you've written about here, and that's really what it's all about. It's community. I think there are tons of companies out there, especially with the advent of the internet, where they talk about how can we build community. Well, if you let the readers themselves talk about it in here, we've created more community accidentally than a lot of these places have done on purpose, and it works.
Yeah. Thank you again for calling. Kurt in Swamigo, it's your turn. Hi, Kurt.
Hi. Say, I wonder, we get the magazine and we love it, but we also get the DNR magazine and are really, really horrified that Scott Walker has stopped it. I don't know when it's going to stop, but it's shortly. And I wondered if you couldn't pick up some of the writers' stories from that magazine, because now the people need to know about if their wildlife areas are going to be destroyed by industry, for instance.
Yeah, Kurt, my belief is that they're keeping the magazine as a quarterly. I don't know what the future of that is. They're keeping the magazine as a quarterly. It was six times per year. I think that I like that magazine, and I hate to see any magazine go away because I'm in this business, and the more magazines there are out there, the better off it is for everybody. That magazine has a little bit different mission than what we do. We're not journalists here. We're entertainers. We touch on some of the natural resources, some of the science, some of that, but we gloss over it. The real strength of the magazine you're talking about is they use scientists and DNR staffers who are right in there and understand limnology, herpetology, the wetlands, all of hydrology, all of that, and put it in layman's terms and do a good job of that. So I sure hope it continues, and we'll continue doing it in bits and pieces, but not to the depth that they do there. That's their real strength.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling, Kurt. Appreciate your call. Well, you always have a touching story or two in each issue, and one of your stories brought back to my mind Jim Packard, who was my producer for years and years and years and passed on. And one of the highlights of his journalistic career was getting to interview Les Paul near the end of his life. And you have a story about Les Paul from an experience that happened years back. Tell about that.
It's a touching story. It kind of chokes you up a little bit. Les Paul, of course, the Wizard of Waukesha, one of the most recognized and famous Wisconsinites ever. He invented the solid body electric guitar, Fender's Les Paul, that's played by Eric Clapton, and everybody else out there memorializes him. He also created multi-track recording, which is the overdubbing used in virtually all music recording today. He and his wife, Mary Ford, were hugely popular in the 50s with some songs like How High the Moon, and just a revered guitarist, a revered musician. And in 1951, he and his wife, Mary, were at the height of their popularity, and they stopped to see some veterans, injured veterans, at the Wood Hospital in Milwaukee. And they came into a man's room and came to play for him. Now, his daughter, Dawn Davis Wessenberg of Wisconsin Rapids, shared this story. She tells the story about Les Paul and Mary coming into her father's room. She shares a photo of it, and they're going to play for this injured veteran. He's still recovering from World War II in 1951. He's got a brain injury, and he's a musician like Les Paul, not to his stature, but he's a professional musician who was paralyzed, and he couldn't play guitar with his right hand anymore, and he was devastated at the thought that he couldn't make music anymore. And Les Paul told him, it's possible to train yourself to play left-handed. Les Paul was famously in a car wreck and did train himself to do that. They played for him, and they went away, Mary and Les, and they decided to order a custom left-handed guitar for this veteran in Dean Davis, who is in the hospital. The guitar was finished, was sent to him. Unfortunately, he died the day before it arrived, and it was returned to Les Paul, and he felt badly that the man never got to play it. Okay, now this is back in, 1951. Let's fast forward to about 2007. This lady, our reader, Dawn, has this photo, and she decides, she hears that Les Paul is coming to Waukesha, I said that correctly, I used to live there, Waukesha, to play a benefit for the Les Paul Museum. The price is $300 a ticket, but she had to go. Got in line to see him afterwards, and he was signing memorabilia. She waited in line, put that picture in front of him, and she broke down, and he sat her down, and he said, "Who are you?" And she told him, I'm the daughter of this man. He says, "I remember that so well." He told her what he played that day, what they discussed that day. He remembered it 60 years. He remembered it just tack sharp. And there were people in line waiting to have their things signed, but he stopped the whole works there and just spent time with her. And the story is just amazingly touching. Yeah. And him remembering that veteran and taking the time to talk with her, it's a beautiful story.
Yeah, it really is a beautiful story. Well, you know what? Here we are running out of time again. And Mike, for those again who would like to get a subscription, how do they do that?
You can give a call to 877-902-9760.
877-902-9760. Always a pleasure, Mike.
Thank you so much, Larry. Looking forward to coming back.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate your being with us today. Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Really fun talking with him, and we'll have him back, and we'll talk with him again. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to take a look at pet oncology with a specialist from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine, so I hope you'll tune in for that. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.